Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on August 4th, 2016. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For additional information, visit their website at academyofforeignlanguages.com, that's all spelled out, or call 310-975-4133.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose, that's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And, of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com and producer of The South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great this morning, Joe. How are you?
It's a great day in the neighborhood. And boy,
have you noticed we've had a little monsoonal moisture?
Yes, it is very moist lately. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we were driving home last night along the Esplanade, and there were clouds.
Mm.
You know, it was cloudy. I think it might be the outer part of that storm that pretty much washed away the state of Arizona.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah, it's incredible. Lots and lots of rain in Arizona, and it's been moist for a month, Jackie. Really?
Yeah. The humidity has been really. The other one day last was it last this weekend or last week? I can't remember. I looked up and it was 81% humidity.
Mm.
Here in Redondo Beach.
Wow.
81% humidity, but there was no rain.
Right.
It wasn't rainy. It wasn't foggy.
No.
It wasn't a marine layer, but it was 81 degrees humidity.
Right. I've had lots of my gardening friends talk about various kinds of mold or rust or other kinds of high humidity issues with their plants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that rust thing is,
Yeah, and it's kind of a white, powdery film, you'll find.
Yeah, I know it.
Yeah.
I've battled it for years.
I think it's a mold. Maybe it's a mold, but it's something that grows in high humidity. I think it is a mold, yeah.
Yeah, I've always had that issue with my roses.
Mm-hmm.
Always,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, but, yeah, hey, I'm not complaining. I love the heat. I'd much rather have the heat than the cold, so.
I agree with you 100%.
And humidity doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
I know that a lot of people really can't stand humidity. I've never had an issue with it. I kind of like it.
Yeah.
You know, as long as I don't have to wear a suit and tie.
Yeah.
You know, that's a part of it. But matter of fact, it's been so nice. You want to hear something funny? I brought my Jeep in. I bought some wheels.
Mm-hmm.
Just the wheels, not the tires.
Oh.
So they had to take my tires off, put the wheels on, blah, 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 all that stuff.
Rims.
Yes. And I dropped it off last week, and it was there for a couple of days. And you know, I have my Audi, which,
yeah,
you know, I normally drive. But my husband needed the Audi because that's the wagon, and he needed it for work.
Mm-hmm.
One day. And so he said, "Do you mind if I use your car?" And I said, "No, go ahead." And then I realized I was without a car because Jeep was in the shop, and he took mine. And I don't drive his car. It's a monster. I can't drive his car. So I had a bunch of errands to run, and so I ended up doing them on my bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed it so much. Since then, every time I, you know, go out to run an errand or whatever, I've been using my bike. I love my bike.
It's wonderful. And your bike, though, is electrically assisted, right?
Yes, it's an it's a Pedego. It's an electric bike.
Right.
And it, you know, I pedal all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't just hit the throttle and sit back and go. I always pedal. I use I use the gears. You know, when I'm going uphill, I put it in a lower gear and stuff. But having that electrical assist is huge
right.
for me. Yeah. So
does it add? I mean, can you pedal with assist? That is.
Oh yes, yes.
So
yes, I pedal. I'm pedaling all the time. But say I'm going up a hill.
Yeah.
You know, I'll put it into a lower gear. But then if I, you know, if I need assist, if it's a, you know, the ramps coming up from the beach.
Yeah.
You know, I'll hit the throttle. You know, and it'll get me up the hill.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm very happy with it. But this was new. It was funny. Yesterday I had to go to the dry cleaners. I had to go to the shoe repair place. I had to go over to the bank, and I just threw the shoes and the pants in the basket and my purse, and I just rode around dropping stuff off doing errands. It was great. No dealing with parking, no getting in and out of a hot car. You know, I just pull my bike up in front of the business and go in.
Absolutely. No, that's biking is going to make a huge, huge comeback, I believe, as we all transition to, you know, a more electric transportation lifestyle. I watched about an hour's worth of Elon Musk documentaries yesterday.
Yeah.
And he talks a lot about how, you know, he wants to transform not just, you know, high-end sports car transportation. He wants to transform all transportation to electric.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Elon Musk, Tesla, that's funny that you mentioned that. You remember, I think it was late last year, they put out their electric model car, but not the high-end one.
The Model 3, the low-end one?
Yes, yes,
$35,000 target.
Yes. And I guess there was something like if you wanted to sign up for one, you had to go someplace in Orange County and get in line and sign up. And, like, you know, all these people showed up. I know three or four people that ordered one.
Mm-hmm.
And just this week, they received packages in the mail with graphics and illustrations and all the details and stuff. And somebody, one of my friends, Brittany, posted on Facebook. And she goes, just got this in the mail today. So stoked. And
mm-hmm.
she took a picture of the package they sent her and what she, you know, the information on her new car when she gets it.
I have a good friend, Murad.
Oh, and by the way,
what?
I also heard it had a $35,000 sticker,
right.
but with all the rebates and stuff, it was closer to $25,000.
Yeah, it's going to be, I think, still now for a while, it's going to be very inexpensive compared
yeah.
to, you know, even my new Sonata. It's going to be cheaper than my new Sonata.
Yeah, yeah. How much? Do you know how much the Priuses are?
Well, brand new, they're in the 30, 35.
Okay, all right, okay. So it's all competitive, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you can get Priuses a little bit cheaper, but still, it's going to be the mass market car that they were originally targeting, and it's going to be huge. Huge win for them.
Yes. You know, it's so funny. In Southern California, they're such early adapters, I think, more so than – I guess because we have this historic car culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people – you know, cars are such a part of our lives here in California, unlike a lot of the country, you know.
Right.
But I remember, you know, if you think about it, but most recently, when the Mini Cooper came out, it's like every other car on the road was the Mini Cooper,
right?
And still is, right? And then the Prius happened, and
right.
then every other car on the road was a Prius. And again, still are. Now it's the Tesla. I mean, I see half a dozen Teslas a day. And these aren't the 3 series. These are
the expensive
ones. Yeah.
Yeah. Prius.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so when that Tesla 3 model comes out, boy, you know, they're going to be, every other car is going to be a Tesla 3. Yeah.
Well, you know, another thing that people should realize is that the Tesla was never designed to be just a great electric car. As Elon Musk says, he wanted it to be a great car all around.
Right.
I have a great friend who has a Model S, and he says, it's better than he has had a Mercedes. He has had an Audi. He says it's the best vehicle of any kind he's ever owned.
Well, there you go.
Period. I mean, appointment, leather, finish, wind noise, everything is top of the line. Top of the line. And it's going to be wildly successful, I predict, and looking forward to it. I had a friend who went to the Santa Monica Tesla dealership to test drive Teslas, and he was just a hair's breadth away from buying one. He called me and said, "Joe, I need you to talk me off the ledge here. I'm almost going to buy one. It's so, so beautiful."
Of course you didn't, did you?
You
want to get a ride in one.
Right. Oh, no. He's excited. He's going to be getting one soon, I know. But he's got a lot of stuff going on. So this wouldn't be a good time, but he's ready soon.
Well, here I am contemplating getting rid of all my cars and just riding my bike all over the place.
Okay. I love this Pedego, though. I'm looking at PedegoElectricBikes.com.
There's one right here in Redondo Beach on PCH and Topaz. That's where we got it.
It's really a classic-looking bike. The battery is in where the sort of the back where your carry-on luggage would be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's very non-electric bike looking.
Yes, yeah, because there are a lot of them, and a lot of them have their batteries. Like, one of them has the batteries on the bar.
Right.
Between your legs there, like it's built in.
Right.
There's a lot of different models out there, but you're right, this is like a classic cruiser.
Right.
And the battery is a rectangular, and it sits under your, that little flat thing in the back that you can, you know, put your school books on or,
right.
you know, and tie down. Yeah, so you don't really, it's not obvious.
Right.
So.
Very cool. Very cool.
Very cool. So ask me what I did last night.
So, Jackie, what did you do last night?
Oh, Joe, I'll tell you. I went up to the CenterCal offices in El Segundo. They had an open house so that the public could come in and view the 3D model that was built for the waterfront project.
Right.
16 or 17 feet long.
Oh.
Maybe the whole thing with the water and everything, it was probably maybe 8 feet wide. They had it on a raised platform, and they put up like an 18-inch plexiglass border around it, because apparently these models just get trashed really quickly. You know, people lean against them. You know, they start touching things and stuff. So they put up a plexiglass wall around it, but you could see everything. It was great, and everybody, me included, you know, we had our fingers on the plexiglass and we were looking over the edge of it, and somebody came around and said, "Could you please not lean against the plexiglass?" You know, but it's huge. It's a hell of a model.
Mm-hmm.
It's one hell of a model. It shows all the detail. It's so exciting. So exciting. We arrived. I met my husband there at 5:15. All right. So the open house was from 5 to 8. Mm-hmm. So we got there pretty early.
Mm-hmm.
He was waiting outside for me. We walked in about 5:15. The place was packed.
Yeah.
Packed.
Yeah.
And we spent maybe 15 minutes, you know, looking at it, because you got to walk around the whole table. To see the whole thing. And there were plenty of people there to answer your questions.
Mm-hmm.
Mickey Marafino was there, you know, she's the marketing person, and then members of the team, the CenterCal team, were there. And so you'd be looking at something, and there were people with, you know, named badges on, and you'd be like, "Oh, excuse me, what is that building?" Or, "Excuse me, what is this road?" Or, "What is that over there?" You know, so there were plenty of people to answer your questions. And we were there, as I said, looking at 15, 20 minutes, and then Fred Bruning, who's the president of CenterCal, CEO, got up and went through the whole model. He started at one end, and, you know, they had a laser pointer. It's a huge model. The model was huge.
Mm-hmm.
And he went through each of the structures and the roads and lagoon and the pier, and he just went through the whole thing, pointing everything out. And then there were questions.
Well, I've got questions for you. What was the most impressive part that you'd been anticipating, but you said, wow, they did that really well, or they did that in a way that I didn't expect?
You know, it's so interesting. I love models. Doesn't everybody love models, miniature stuff?
So. Yeah.
I love models. I can just – then again, I'm a map reader. I like looking at maps. Not everybody's mind works like that, but I love models, and I could just sit and look at all the detail, you know, for hours. I just didn't have enough time, you know. I just didn't have enough time last night. But I focused on small sections at each time. But like, say, for instance, when I was looking at the Seaside Lagoon, I'm looking at the model, and in my head I'm picturing what it looks like now. Mm-hmm. I was trying to picture it from all the different angles. I was looking at the model of the Seaside Lagoon, and I closed my eyes, and I'm imagining looking at it from standing on Harbor Drive and what it looks like now, and then opening my eyes and seeing what the model is. And I went through and I did that for each section. Like, I imagined myself standing in front of the Crown Plaza Hotel looking west. You know, what's there now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then seeing what the model is projecting, right? When you asked what was the thing that was most impressive, the thing that I had the hardest time envisioning was the new Pacific Avenue.
Okay.
I've seen the illustrations and stuff, and so I was looking at Pacific Avenue, and again, as I'm looking at it, I'm closing my eyes, and I'm envisioning it today, and then I'm opening it, and I'm riding my bike along it.
Mm-hmm.
And so Pacific Avenue is going to go right above where the International Boardwalk is now. So there's a bike path there as well.
Right.
So now when you go along the International Boardwalk, you just come out of the parking garage, and you're above it, and there's stairs going down to the International, and there's a wall with is it mosaics or tile,
mm-hmm.
and those stairs with the mosaic going up. So I'm envisioning that as a street. And then you got to remember that the parking garage won't be there anymore.
Right.
You know, so, I think they did a terrific job. And what's really interesting is when you see the model, when you see the elevations, you know, a lot of people are screaming about views being blocked.
Mm-hmm.
But all those condo units are, you know, the elevation is higher. There's a slope, you know. And everything that's happening on the harbor is a lot lower, and looking at the model is a lot lower than what I went over, and I like crouched down to look at the sight line.
Mm-hmm.
The roofs of the building, the proposed buildings in the harbor compared to where the condominium unit starts, like would it affect the first floor, the second floor? And it's nowhere near as bad. I didn't think it was anywhere near as bad as people were saying. People are screaming that we're just going to be looking at concrete walls and stuff. Most of it is above the view line. Above the roof line.
Yeah.
Crown Plaza will be affected, the first couple of floors of their building, because there is a parking garage going in across the street from them. But they made an adjustment on that. Instead of having – it was supposed to be one continuous building. They cut it in half, and they put a view corridor.
Okay. Between
what is now a parking structure on the corner of Barrel on the west side of the street.
Yeah.
And then there's another – the theater. The theater is next to it, but there's a wide street, like a street corridor between.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a continuous concrete block.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as I said, as you go along, the sight lines are, in my opinion, much better than I think anybody expected. That's just my opinion.
Right.
I didn't get out there with a ruler and a laser, but if you crouch down, you look at the top of the building lines of the proposed project compared to where the condominiums start, I thought it looked pretty good. I'm sure there are going to be a few views impacted.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest difference is that, okay, instead of looking down on an ugly parking lot, now you're going to be looking at structures with landscaping and art installations and all that stuff. So,
right.
You know, so that's, you know, I think that's the major difference right there. So I was very impressed with it, and boy, oh boy, you should definitely go down and look at it. This was the open house last night. Anybody could attend, but from here on in, you have to make an appointment. Mm-hmm. And they have certain days for appointments. So, you know, it's a place of business, you know.
Yeah.
You can't just have people coming in willy-nilly. So I would, if I were you, I'd definitely go down there. There are a lot of pictures on the internet. You know, I posted some video last night, and I know Bill Brand posted a bunch of pictures. And last night, everybody was videotaping and taking.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a ton of pictures online of it, but it just doesn't do it justice.
Right.
It's really impressive. It's a hell of a model.
That's really fantastic.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm looking at one of your pictures now, or actually a video.
Mm-hmm.
And it is.
You know, video is, you know, it's never, you know, especially my video pictures are never great. But it gives you just a general idea of it.
Yeah.
You know, there were a lot of people there just getting up close to the plexiglass.
Yeah.
You had to maneuver your way in, so.
No, I get a good sense of it from the video. I think, you know, details are matter, but I get a good sense of it. And the integration with the waterfront as it is now, or sort of the differences, and I love it. I mean, yeah, I think that's going to look beautiful from the sea and from land. It looks good.
Yeah. They did, Santa Cal did a bunch of community outreach, you know, prior to the EIR, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was. Anyway, it was a while ago. And the city held some meetings, and the Harbor Commission, you know, they've been doing their meetings. There's been a lot of things going on, you know, before they got to the model point. And they made several changes based on community feedback. Originally, they were going to take out the sport fishing pier.
Right.
They put that back in.
Right.
They put it back in. Polly's is going to be on it.
Right.
And also, I guess, from the model, the pier jets out. Polly's is kind of from the shore end of it to the middle. And then there's an open area on the end for a sport fishing. But then they also talked about having a water taxi service or a water shuttle service to take you to places up and down the coast, you know, Marina Del Rey, Santa Monica type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw the pier proper.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the pier, from what I understand, has two leaseholders. You know how the pier has two sections as well? There's the Tony's on the pier. If you're looking at the water, Tony's is on your right, and then there's another part of the pier on the left.
Yeah.
Well, the left side is not going to be touched.
Mm-hmm.
The pier on the right, that's one leaseholder, and the pier on the right side is another leaseholder. So that whole right arm of the pier. I'm not talking about the horseshoe.
Okay.
This is all on the southern end of the horseshoe. So the part where Tony's is going to be redone.
Right.
Which needs to, I guess, structurally speaking, it's pretty much still a mess.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's a lot to it. You have to go down and look at it. You got to see where the hotel sits, the theater, the boardwalk.
So the part with, is that, what is that? It's not, that really nice restaurant that I love to go to. Are they going to be impacted?
Kincaid's.
Are they going to be impacted?
No, Kincaid's is there. And then there's a new building beyond Kincaid's out on the pier, but I don't know what that's going to be.
Right.
Kincaid's won't be impacted. Joe's Crab Shack is going to stay there.
Right.
So, yeah, as I said, I think everybody should get down and see it, because it really shows you what it can be. Oh, and here's a really interesting point, something that happened last night. After Fred Bruning went through from one end to the next, the whole project,
mm-hmm.
he opened it up for questions. And people, you know, different questions, what's this? And then there was one gentleman there that said, so this is it, this is the final project, right? And he said yes. He goes, okay, if the city doesn't approve this, are you out of here? Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
And Fred tried to explain, you know, instead of saying yes or no, he tried to explain something about the economics. The guy said, no, no, no. What I'm asking you is, if the city doesn't approve this, are you walking away? And again, Fred tried to explain the economics of it, you know, because that's what it all comes down to. If the city comes back and says, okay, we don't want this theater, get rid of it, it completely changes the economics for the developer, all
right? Right.
So this guy, he kept trying to explain. This guy was like, no, I want a yes or no answer. If the city doesn't approve this, are you out of here? And he said, yes, we are.
Mm-hmm.
He said, yes, we are. Which kind of stunned the crowd. It got very quiet, and everybody was just kind of like, and the guy said, okay, that's all I wanted to know.
Yeah.
And, you know, that has a lot of repercussions.
Yeah, they spent a lot of time and money getting to this point. They can't hang around forever. It will be quite a failure if CenterCal and all the effort it goes to waste.
Well, it goes beyond that, because what happens is, if they walk away from the table, how many developers do you think are going to want to try to do business in Redondo Beach? How many developers do you think are going to run over here and say, okay, we'll do it?
Well, I understand what you're saying, Jackie, but I'll take a different tack. Some developer will absolutely take it on, but we won't have a high quality developer.
That's the point.
The point is someone
qualified. Yeah.
Someone will take it on. It's just that we won't have the highest quality developers because they don't need that headache.
Again, I don't know that the city. I don't think the city. The city took a while, and you know they had a bunch of developers come to them initially, and they picked the top three, and then they vetted them some more and picked one.
Yeah.
I don't believe the city would just say to any willy-nilly developer that doesn't have a track record, that doesn't have can't guarantee funding and stuff. I don't think the city would do that. You know, a developer can't just walk in and say, I'll do it. They have to work with the city on it.
No, yeah, of course. But what I'm saying, though, basically, is you have CenterCal, and we've talked and communicated with many of the people there.
Yeah.
And then you have other developers who just – they have all that you said they have to have, but they just have no imagination. They're just there to execute.
Yeah, of course. Well, like anything, there's good and there's bad.
Yeah.
You know, there's good, really good, high quality developers, and there are really lousy developers,
of course.
And CenterCal has a great portfolio.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there are a few other developers out there that are competent, qualified to do this. But seriously,
right?
After all the money and effort that went into this on CenterCal, if they get shut down, nobody's gonna step up. They're going to say it's too difficult to do business in the city of Redondo Beach.
Right.
So you know, if the city isn't business friendly, you're screwed.
You'll get a ticks all the legal boxes, but not one of the better developers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, as I said, I don't think the city would pick anything but a first-rate developer. And that was another thing that Fred pointed out. You know, everybody has been focusing on the aging parking structure, which we all know needs massive redo.
Yeah.
But he also talked about this deck where quality seafood is.
Right.
That's in bad shape. That's not going to last much longer. That whole area, the Fun Factory, quality seafood.
So what happens to that? Because it's a very nice feature. It's in disrepair.
It's in bad disrepair.
Yeah.
It's in very bad shape.
Yeah.
So, you know, as I said, people, you know, some people have talked about putting a bond together to raise the money to fix the parking structure, which will be on the shoulders of the citizens of Redondo Beach, the residents of Redondo Beach. They're going to end up paying for it. So somebody made that comment last night about, okay, so if we don't do this, who's going to pay for it? And they said, you are, the citizens of Redondo, the residents of Redondo Beach are going to end up paying for all these repairs. But it's not just the parking structure. It's not just the parking structure. And you take into account how much money the city pays in fines for Seaside Lagoon because the water quality stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot more than the parking structure. The buildings, the businesses on the international boardwalk,
mm-hmm.
we all know those were not meant to be businesses. It was supposed to be storage for boats.
Storage, yeah.
And not to mention the whole grade of the marina needs to be raised, I don't know, 4, 5, 7 feet something.
Right.
For the rising sea stuff.
Now,
and that's all like state stuff that we have
okay.
to do.
Now, that's a question I have about the International Boardwalk. I know it has to be raised to accommodate rising sea levels, but just also storm surge.
Yes.
Which is fine. It also,
they flood every time. There's
how
flood.
Many of those businesses will be getting comparable space in the new development?
Well, first off, don't call it comparable because the spaces they're in now.
I know.
Are awful.
It could be better, much better.
Yes, and so what?
Will they be able to afford to stay in business?
Well, here's what they're doing. Okay, the project is going to be built in two phases. The north end and the south end. All right, the south end is where the pier and the parking structure are now. Pier, parking structure, International Boardwalk. Okay, that's the southern end. The northern end is R10 North.
Right.
From R10 North. So what they want to do the northern end first. And the northern end is where the marketplace is going to be.
Okay.
And there are several freestanding buildings, right, whether restaurants or retail. So what they want to do first is build the northern end first, which the northern end doesn't have a lot. It's mostly parking lot. You've got Captain Kids, you've got Sambas, you've got Ruby's, what used to be On the Rocks. What am I missing? I think it's just those.
Yeah, that's primarily
the sport fishing pier. Okay,
right.
So what they would do is they would scrape that, build out that whole thing. It would take 2 years. Actually, each phase takes 2 years. So 2 years for the northern end. Once the northern end is done,
yeah,
they will move all of the tenants that want to stay, obviously. You know, if they don't want to stay there, they don't have to. But all the tenants that want to be in the new marina, they're going to move them into the marketplace and freestanding buildings.
Okay.
There's a lot more businesses in the southern end. He said we don't want businesses being out of business for 2 years.
Right.
So he's going to move. They're going to build the northern end first.
Right.
Move all of the businesses from the southern end into the northern end, and then do phase two and build out that whole southern end.
Right.
Which is the hotel, another parking structure, a hotel, pier. And yeah, I think that's it. So it sounds like a good plan.
Right.
It sounds like a really good plan.
That's what I'm interested in. I think these businesses, have brought a lot of, I want to say, brought a lot of life to the International Boardwalk. They should be allowed to survive.
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah. And believe me, their spaces will be a lot nicer than what they are now.
Right.
Yeah. So I think it's a fantastic plan. I'm so glad I went last night and got to hear everything and hear how it will proceed if it gets approved.
What are the next steps? What are the sort of pain points that are coming forward?
Well, the next step is Monday night. The Harbor Commission has been having a series of hearings. And the last one, last month, supposed to be the final, and they were going to vote on whether to approve, disapprove, send it back to the city council.
Mm-hmm.
But they just got the final EIR,
mm-hmm.
and they felt they needed more time to look that over.
Okay.
So they scheduled another Harbor Commission meeting where they are expecting to vote on it,
okay.
Which is scheduled for this coming Monday, August 8th.
Yeah.
So, but they're gonna do something different. At all the other Harbor Commission meetings, they opened the meeting, they went through their basic stuff, and then they opened it up to public comments.
Yeah.
Which went well into the night. All right, a lot of people, standing room only outside. They put people in the library to view. So this one, they're going to do a bunch of business first. They're going to, talk about the EIR, talk about, all this other stuff before they open it up to public comment.
Right.
So this meeting could really go late. but this, they are expecting to vote on it Monday night.
Okay.
So that's the next step, and we'll take it from there, you know. And by the way, if you want to go down with, you know, if you want to say something about the project, get there early. The meeting starts at 6:30 at the Redondo Beach City Council Chambers.
Mm-hmm.
Last month, I've gone to all these meetings. A line starts forming at like, I got there at like 5. There were already 50 people standing out front.
What?
Yeah, so there's a line that forms, and then they open the doors at 6:30, and everybody files in, and they fill up the council chambers quickly, and then they have some seating outside, and then they overflow, as I said, upstairs or in the library or something. They had a closed-circuit TV so you could watch.
Yeah.
So if you want to go and you want to say something, you should get there early.
Right.
So, but you're not going to get to say anything until they finish their business.
Right.
So it's a big deal, Joe. It's a big deal. You know, it's such a big deal that we were supposed to be talking about what's going on this weekend. And we just spent the last 35 minutes talking about the model I saw last night.
Well, you know, Jackie, this is the South Bay Show. You're listening to Jackie and Joe talk about not only what's happening around town, what's coming up this weekend, but we also wanted to talk about the CenterCal project, which is CenterCal.com, and you can make appointments to go and see the model and talk to people at CenterCal about the model and the plans, which you should do if you have interest. Yes. So please.
Who doesn't have interest?
I don't know. Some people, you know, maybe they just don't know what's going on. I don't know. But also, if you want to call and talk or you have a comment, we'd love to talk to you. Please give us a call at 714-242-5288. Are we going to thank a sponsor, Jackie?
Yeah, we should.
We're going to thank a sponsor. Please give us a call, 714-242-5288, and we are going to thank a sponsor.
This segment of the South Bay Show is brought to you by Your Actualized Visions. A local advertising agency, Your Actualized Visions offers all your advertising needs under one roof. From logo design, business cards, banners, and signage, to online services such as website design, SEO management, promotional videos, reputation management, and loyalty promotions, you name it, and Your Actualized Visions will handle it for you on time and under budget. Built on the needs of their clients, Your Actualized Visions is competitively priced and economical, saving you money and greatly enhancing your bottom line. At Your Actualized Visions, customer service is all local with one point of contact. No more dealing with robo-answering machines, getting the runaround, or speaking to someone in another country. Your Actualized Visions understands your hyper-local advertising needs and focuses on bringing you real clients. They do not buy likes, followers, or fake results. Your campaigns are real, built with real community followers who want to purchase your services and products. The only thing standing in the way of your company's success is you now picking up the phone right now and calling Your Actualized Visions at 310-413-8773. To learn more about what Your Actualized Visions can do for you and your company, visit the website at youractualizedvisions.com. Your Actualized Visions, your dreams today, not someday.
All right. We're back.
We're back. And one last thing I want to say.
Yeah.
This, and I've been saying this all along, this project is, obviously it's in the city of Redondo Beach, but this project is going to affect the entire South Bay.
Right.
Every community. You know, it's not just people in Redondo Beach that have boat slips down there. It's not just people in Redondo Beach that eat down there and go paddle boarding and recreate down there. Everybody in the South Bay and beyond uses the marina. And I think it's imperative that we hear from other people. I think that if you live in Manhattan Beach and you like to go, you should come on down to the Harbor meeting Monday night.
Right.
I think the entire South Bay has a stake in this. It's going to lift up the entire South Bay. I mean, you know, Manhattan Beach has been rejuvenated. Hermosa Beach is being revived, and Redondo Beach you know, that marina can be the jewel of the South Bay.
I think that's a very appropriate way of describing it. The jewel of the South Bay is that that harbor. It's our little, you know, I think of it as our little piece of Calais, the south of France.
Okay. Well, we got better beaches. We don't have rocky beaches.
Yeah, agreed. If we were to get rid of the electrical plant and the electrical wires, oh my God,
yeah.
That view.
Yep.
Million-dollar view. Well, actually, a $10 million view.
$100 million view. Oh, and by the way, we should mention that, too.
What?
The property values are going to skyrocket.
Yes.
I mean, those people that live in those units, I think it's about 5,000 condo units across the street from the marina, their property values are going to increase. It's just going to be great. If you own one of those units and you rent it out to vacationers,
yeah.
I mean, you can get a premium price because everything is going to literally be across the street.
Yeah. Yeah, so, it's going to be beautiful and convenient, amazing.
Yes. So that's the last I want to say on that. So we're going to quickly run through what's coming up this weekend. First thing I want to mention is the International Surf Festival starts today.
Okay.
Right? And we all know that, you know, the Charlie Sakely Volleyball Tournament, six-man.
Right.
One of the biggest events of the summer.
Right.
Huge event that in recent years has just attracted an insane crowd, 50, 60,000 people coming down for this tournament. And traditionally, it was always held on the Saturday and Sunday of the International Surf Festival. But a few years ago, the crowds got out of hand, a lot of underage drinking, and the organizers in the city decided they were going to switch things up a little bit, and they, for the last 2 years, I think it was, they switched the volleyball tournament itself to, I think it was Wednesday and Thursday.
Right.
The crowd's numbers just really plummeted.
Right.
But this year, they're adjusting it so that the volleyball tournament will be on Thursday and Friday.
Right.
So maybe we'll get a little better crowd, you know, showing up for it now, or that it's closer to the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a nice middle ground. So we'll see how that goes. So the International Surf Festival starts today, Thursday, August 4th. It runs through Sunday, August 7th. The host city this year is Torrance. All right. Mm-hmm. And there are a ton of events throughout the next 4 days.
Right.
All right. Tonight is the Los Angeles County Lifeguard Medal of Valor Dinner at Seaside Lagoon. There might be some tickets left for that. They're going to have lifeguard rescue demonstration, run relays, the Dick Fitzgerald 2 Mile Beach Run, sand soccer, paddleboard championship, sandcastle contest, beach volleyball, just all sorts of stuff all weekend long throughout all the beach cities. So
it is a truly international surf festival. Last year we had a contingent from Australia that we talked to.
Yeah.
And that was exciting. And they're back again this year, I'll bet. And from all over, truly international.
Yep. Yep.
Yes. Exciting.
And just FYI, everything we're going to mention now, all the information, all the links are on my website, southbaybyjackie.com.
Right. Absolutely.
All right.
Love to talk about the comedy pop-up. Presents Comedy at the Beach. I love this. On Thursday, it's today, at Samba Brazilian Steakhouse. The doors open at 8 p.m., featuring some of Los Angeles' funniest comedians. This is really exciting. I like the idea. Another place to watch comedy in the South Bay, not just the Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa, but now comedy is moving around the South Bay. A bunch of great artists, Trenton Davis, Chris Fanjola. Taylor Tomlinson, Last Comic Standing, Taylor Tomlinson, Jason Lawhead, Nick Yosef, Last Call with Carson Daly, and other special guests. All attendees will enjoy a special selection of Brazilian-inspired drink specials. Tickets are 7 in advance, 12 at the event, and plenty of on-site parking with $2 with only $2 with validation. Great, great, great event. Samba Brazilian Steakhouse, right on North Harbor Drive.
Yeah, $7. $7 if you buy your tickets in advance. Go online, buy them now. $12 at the door.
Yeah.
Great price, great price.
Agreed.
Yeah, so, okay, so here's another one. They just started this last year. Ruby's Diner started last year, a new community tradition, summer movie series.
Right.
This year, every Friday night in August at Seaside Lagoon, they're going to show a film. Films will begin at 8:15 p.m., and attendees can bring beach chairs, blankets. There'll be food for purchase available from Ruby's Diner Takeout. This is a free event.
Right.
It's a free event. You know, you'll pay for parking. Parking fees apply with validation. Tomorrow night, Friday, August 5th, they're going to be screening The Goonies.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Seaside Lagoon, everything revolves around this new waterfront development. The Seaside Lagoon, what a treasure, what a historic part of the South Bay will be a new jewel in the jewel of the South Bay. It's going to be
even
better.
That's something else I wanted to mention.
Yeah.
Right now, the Seaside Lagoon, if you want to use it, there's an admission fee.
Right.
This project goes through free and open to the public all the time.
Right.
No more admission fee.
Except for special events. Special events.
Yeah. I'm talking about just on a day-to-day basis going to the beach. Yeah,
right.
So it's going to be free now if this happens.
Yeah, this is just fascinating. The actual science, the marine biology of it, is that the Seaside Lagoon will be healthier.
I don't know. I'm hearing people yelling about this and that. What if the sea lions come in? who knows? I do believe like the wildlife, Fish and Wildlife Service probably has to handle that sort of stuff.
Right.
So anyway, we got to get through this stuff. So let's keep going.
Okay,
we got a lot going on.
Well, now we're going to be talking about our friend, David Hadley is going to be in town, and the ASPCA will be with David for the second annual pet adoption event on Saturday, this coming Saturday, from 10 to 2 p.m. in the district office parking lot. And that's going to be right on Hawthorne Boulevard at the district office. This is very interesting. The first 25 adoptions will be free. What?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's interesting. While you're there, get an update on legislation regarding animal welfare, share what's happening in the community, and donate pet supplies to local animal shelters. So this is for animal lovers of all kinds. This coming Saturday from 10 to 2 at the district office on Hawthorne. It's 23211 Hawthorne Boulevard. And meet with your assemblyman, David Hadley. Fantastic.
Yes, it is. The City of Torrance invites the community to a free outdoor concert featuring 5-mile radius on Saturday, August 6th from 2 to 4 p.m. in Columbia Park in Torrance. Now, the band is comprised entirely of South Bay residents. I guess that's why it's called 5-mile radius, right? They don't go further than 5 miles in any direction. Come out, enjoy a free afternoon, a great afternoon of free music. Again, bring your low back chairs, blankets, picnic, and go down to Columbia Park on Saturday, August 6th from 2 to 4 p.m.
Now, if you thought that was the only thing happening on Saturday, you would be wrong. El Segundo, the El Segundo Rotary Club presents Movie in the Park this coming Saturday at 4 p.m. at Chevron Park, beautiful park. The film will be Zootopia. We love that film. Great film. Additional activities include train rides, a moon bounce, and face painting for the kids. Okay. You should have a blanket and a low back chair. Don't bring a camp chair because that's people are going to boo you. Bring a low back chair and or just a blanket. And please leave the pets at home. Drop-offs are not permitted. This is not babysitting. And no outside alcohol is permitted, but refreshments will be available for purchase. Gates open at 4 p.m. With the movie starting at dusk, which is around 7:50, almost 8 o'clock. Well, 7:30 at least. So doors open at 8 or at 4, and admission is $4 a person. Children under 2 are free. That's fantastic. Chevron Park, right at the corner of El Segundo and Sepulveda. You can't miss it.
Yeah, that's a nice, that's a great park.
Yeah.
And $4, that's a great deal. That's a great deal. What are movies now, $12, $13, $18,
$28
now?
Right.
I think the theaters are going to go the way of the dinosaur. okay, so the Torrance Rose Float Association is hosting a luau party fundraiser on Saturday, August 6th from 5 to 9 p.m. at the Ken Miller Recreation Center. Now, this is, you know, they hold different fundraisers throughout the year to get the Torrance float in the Rose Parade every year. It's a big deal. By the way, I tried for the last several weeks to get in touch with them. I wanted to have them on the show today because I wanted to hear about this, but nobody ever got back to me. I left the messages, and I sent them emails, and they never got back to me. So,
Well, communication blackout, huh?
Yeah. So that is Saturday, August 6th from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Okay. Well, you know, Jackie, I thought there couldn't be any more going on Saturday. But guess what? Hermosa Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Hermosa Beach Friends of the Park and South Bay Art and Film Festival present Movie Night at the Beach. Every Saturday night in August, the city of Hermosa Beach is thrilled to expand Hermosa's great family-friendly events to include movies, okay? So everyone's going to enjoy this free community event. Everything begins at 6 p.m. with the movie starting at 7:30. Again, low-back chairs, beach chairs, picnic blankets, and baskets. That would be the right thing to do. And refreshments will be available for sale. And the movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Love that movie.
Raiders of the Lost Ark, Hermosa Beach this coming Saturday. Everything starts, you know, you should get there early. Everything starts at 6, but I'd get there a little early.
Yeah, because you got to get seating.
Get a female spot.
This is new. This is new this year, and it's produced by Alan Sanford of St. Rock.
Right.
You know, they're the people that do the concerts on the beach.
Right.
In August, they do concerts every Sunday night in August, and now they're doing movies every Saturday night in August.
Right.
And Hermosa Beach is the place to be.
Right.
Month of August, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's exciting. And again, it's free.
Free.
Free. More movies. The City of Rancho Palos Verdes Recreation and Parks Department presents Movies in the Park on, again, Saturday, August 6th at 6 p.m. at Hess Park Upper Field. The public is invited for a free evening of Cinema Under the Stars with a screening of Minions.
Wow.
All right. You should arrive early. Again, picnic blankets, low slung beach chairs. There's going to be food trucks on site.
Right.
All right. So pre-movie activities begin at 6 with the movie starting at dusk. So that's Hess Park Upper Field up in Rancho Palos Verdes. Again, all the information and the links are on my website.
Right.
SouthBayByJackie.com.
All right, you people out there, do you get the message? Low-slung beach chairs. Anybody caught in a camping chair is going to be, you know, summarily booed. but, of course, there is something going on Sunday celebrating 5.5 decades of elite cycling competition. Bike racers are gearing up for the Chevron Manhattan Beach Grand Prix, Sunday, August 7th. Chevron is the title sponsor of this event that was founded in 1962 by local racing legend Ted Ernst. With Chevron support and that of the South Bay Wheelmen Foundation, the Grand Prix has grown to attract over 700 contestants, including the world's top cyclists from 6 continents. Do you understand what we're talking here? This is a world-class event. I mean, we have the Olympics starting. This is kind of like an Olympics of elite cycling.
I think it's a qualifying event, isn't it?
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
700 contestants, 6 continents, 7,500 spectators. The first race begins at 7 a.m. at Live Oak in Manhattan. They'll be featuring 9 races catering to all levels of cyclists, as well as a wide range of community racers. New this year will be a 50-minute junior race for 15 to 18-year-olds starting at 10:15, with a $1,500 purse paying 10 deep. Wow. Wow. New this year, 50-minute junior race, 15 to 18-year-olds starting at 10:15 a.m., with a $1,500 purse paying 10 deep. The fan favorite kids race, kids races for children between the ages of 2 and 12 will be held at noon, followed by the women's pro 1 to 3 race at 1 p.m.
They have a lot of stuff going on there.
They have
a lot of stuff.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
All the details are on my website. We got to keep moving here. El Segundo Museum of Art presents Family Day Improv Workshop on Sunday, August 7th, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Learn the basics of improv comedy with your family by participating in an improv workshop led by experienced LA-based comedians, Museum Prov. So that's Sunday, August 7th, starting at 11 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next item is our City of Manhattan Beach Parks and Rec Department. Their annual Sandcastle Design Contest on Sunday, August 7th from 9 a.m. to 12 on the south side of the Manhattan Beach Pier. There's a bunch of contest rules. This is serious stuff. They're not kidding around. Like, you can't go down the night before and start building your sandcastle, okay? All right. So go check out all the rules on that, but it's going to be amazing.
Right. And then, of course, the summer pool party on Sunday in Manhattan Beach on the Sky Deck at Shade Hotel. Wonderful, wonderful, beginning at 1 p.m., concluding at dusk. Beautiful location, beautiful people, beautiful cocktails, beautiful food, DJs. That's the place to be on Sunday.
I think this is their last summer pool party for the season. They did one in June, July, and now August. So if you want to go check it out, do it now.
Okay.
USC alumni present the annual Trojan Fest at South Coast Botanic Garden on Sunday, August 7th. All right. The event runs from 1 to 4 p.m. If you're anyone interested in what USC has to offer and a chance to meet alumni and other members of the USA family, this is for you.
Right.
All right. That's at the South Coast Botanic Garden on Sunday, August 7th.
Activities for the kids, performances by the Trojan Marching Band. Oh, that should be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. And, of course, St. Rock and L.A. Car Guy present the 2016 Hermosa Beach Summer Concert Series. The concerts will take place Sundays in August from 4 to 8 on the south side of the Hermosa Beach Pier. Everyone who has been has enjoyed those. They're going to be fantastic. The crowds will number well into the thousands. Get there early.
Get there early. And they're going to feature Brett Denon with special guest the Walcotts. Yes. I've seen the Walcotts. Love the Walcotts.
Okay. That's August 7th.
We're going. And last but not least, the City of El Segundo Recreation and Parks Department presents the Summer Concerts in the Park Sunday evening at Library Park. The final concert of the summer, again, this Sunday, and they feature centerfold hits of the 80s. Activities begin at 4 p.m. with the music starting at 4:30 and running until 6:30. Food trucks will be on site, and there's going to be all sorts of kids' activities. And that's what's going on in addition to all of the other summer concerts which have already started. Redondo Beach Pier,
right.
Nelson's, Pollywog Park. So much stuff going on
right
in the South Bay this summer.
And Jackie, we can end where we began. The Harbor Commission hearing starts at 6:30 on Monday.
Yes.
At the Redondo Beach City Council Chambers. Get there early. You got to get there at like 5.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get good seating. But at the Redondo Beach City Council Chambers on Monday, August.
We got through it all.
We did it. See you all tomorrow. Bye-bye.